How fitting it was with the parade of children that came up, as well as the anniversary celebrated. I want you to think back to the time to your first child. There were lots of things that went into planning for the first child. And of course, one of the biggest things was the name, right? Some of you, maybe I've heard stories that you want to see the kid, then you'll know the name. Others do all sorts of research and go from that route. Do you do it something plain and everyday? I don't know, Anna. And these aren't meant to belittle any names. It's just a matter of Anna's a little more common, not near as far out there as Nirvana, or naming a child Heaven, a little less thought of. Or if it's a boy, is it going to be Robert, who we'll call Bob, or is it William, who nobody can ever call Will? Those type of things. Thought goes into the name, right? We have those choices. We think about them. We want our children to grow up with names that will be fitting, as well as hopefully not teased too much. So when we are naming my daughter, we have looked through all sorts of books. And a lady I was doing some odd jobs for gave me a book of old English names and such. And we were going through and we thought, wow, you know what? Kind of like that. I've heard of Emma, but I haven't heard of Ella. So we kind of went through there. We didn't go there immediately, but then we decided upon Ella. And you know what? She has at least five Ellas. It wasn't common, right? It wasn't common. But there are five Ellas within two grades in her school alone. So we went rather common, it seems, even though we didn't exactly know it. Depending on where you read the definition of Ella, it's either a lady, which she has her moments right now. She's growing into that. And then there's Elijah, which we pretty well planned on going by Eli, but didn't want to just name him Eli. Well, that one was biblically based. And Ella, actually, I was doing a little research, could be found in the Bible as well, referring to a tree, indigenous to the Midwest or Middle East. So a lady tree, there you go. With that said, so Elijah definitely has some meaning. The background behind it is, my God is Yahweh, would be the translation that I was able to find in my research. With that said, that's rather presumptuous to name a child that his God will be Yahweh. That's sure the hope, but it has to come on his terms. So with that said, there's a lot that goes in a name. Eli, I don't think he gets picked on too much by his name. Ella, not really. There's five others, so hopefully they went ahead of her and got those jokes exhausted. But let's look at the one name that really means a lot to us. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open to Matthew 1. That's chapter 1, verse 21. So as I was reading, there was a Dr. Miller that had given a sermon, and there's going to be a lot of quotes from him, and they stirred up a lot of thought, things that I hadn't thought about otherwise. And he has something to say like this. What happens in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 is a beautiful thing. An angel comes to the waiting mother and father with specific name, Jesus. So he's paraphrasing the verse for us. And it must have been rather surprising for Mary and Joseph, since theirs was to be a very special baby. Again, with my own children, not too sure how many of the rest of you were visited by angels to let you know you were going to have your first child. Jennifer or I did not receive that. Yet Mary did, and Joseph did. They understood how special this baby was going to be. With that said, knowing how special their baby was going to be, And the angel says, you must name this special baby Jesus. To us, that might sound extremely special, right? Jesus being a transliteration or a derivative of Joshua or Yeshua from Hebrew. Pretty common. The meaning behind that name is the Lord saves, right? How better can you honor God than to name your child the Lord saves? So guess how many families did that? I don't have a number, but it was a lot. If you were to go out as a mother and, Jesus, Yeshua, come in here, it's time for supper, you're going to have to be a little more specific. Otherwise, you're going to have a table full before you know it. The old saying goes, every Tom, Dick, and Harry in Israel was named Jesus. Not making light of his name, but there's something extremely common about Jesus. There were so many that were named Jesus in Israel that it's an incredible thing that the angel would come in with such an utterly commonplace name. It would be the equivalent of an angel flapping into your room and saying, your baby will rule the nations. Name him Dave. That's to make fun of the commercials that I actually like on the radio. It's just commonplace. It's not David, the formal. It's not Jacob. It's Jake. It's Dave. It's Bill. It's Rob. It's Bob. The commonplace name. Well, as the angel gives the instructions to name the baby Jesus, the most common name of a Savior, right? The Savior named Dave. Thou shalt call his name Joshua, because he is going to save his people from their sin. Now, the hope from the other parents or mothers that would name their child Joshua, the Lord saves, was that hopefully their boy will be the one that will grow up and impact their nation for God, that God will use their boy and he'll be properly named and ready when he is able to save or work with their nation and bring glory to God. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, as we get a description. As we go through here, I want you to look in your mind and see what is being described. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, a son of man, that you care for him. You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them. In Hebrews 2, chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, it explains to us how man is viewed in a biblical perspective. It shows you somewhat of the hierarchy, where we fit in. It shows how you and I are viewed according to biblical terms, revealing our place in God's creation, if you will. But of course, after 8, verse 8, there's verse 9. I want you to think about who is being described here and how the description is made. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels, just like the description of before, of us, lower than the angels, for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. And Miller, in his quote, how could this high drama come in such a simple way? Can you tell me that this great Jesus entered through something as common as a womb, as a birth canal. The Jesus who was born as the Lamaze Jesus, was it he who would redeem us? Wrapped in Pampers or Huggies, was this the Jesus who would redeem us? The all-too-human, the all-too-common Son of God. So in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, Jesus is being described for certain. And it starts off identical to how our description is done as well. Until it gets to his timing, he's only made lower than the angels for a little while. And then it refers to his death. Not that mankind was not going to have death otherwise, for we will all face the death of this earth. But the other thing that differentiates him will be his righteousness. But because of the power and the grace of God through Jesus' death, his death on this earth, our death no longer holds the same effect. How uncommon our common Savior is becoming. A poem shared by, or written by, Lucy Shaw. I had to read through it many times, so I'm going to try and enunciate it as it finally took some meaning to me. After the bright beam of hot annunciation fused heaven with dark earth, his searing, sharply focused light went out for a while, eclipsed in amniotic gloom, his cool immensity of splendor, his universal grace, small folded in a warm, dim female space. The word stern sentenced to be 9 months dumb, infinity walled in a womb, until the next enormity, the mighty, after submission to a woman's pains, helpless on a bare barn floor, first tasting bitter earth. She summed it up. It took me a while to grasp, but it's there. So much was wrapped up and made common from an uncommon God. Some years ago, a coal mine collapsed in West Virginia. A group of men were trapped deep in the bowels of the earth for a long period of time, and all the people were trying to get through to see if there were any still alive. They were sinking a new shaft in the hopeful rescue attempt. Finally, by God's grace, these men were all set free at the zero hour. Bystanders asked them how they kept their minds together. One man replied, "I have a secret. It's the Redeemer who will not leave men long in dark places." Viewers were amazed as he quoted his secret of survival on national television. "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, in the depths, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." Psalm 139, verse 6 through 10. As the psalmist is revealing to us, this Jesus named by an angel absolutely did not leave us comfortless for long. A Savior named Dave, a plain and common Savior. He stepped down from his throne to become the great commoner, the average Joe. And he said no. He said no to "I'll live up here at a safe, secure distance." But instead he says, "I will be involved, and not one of my children will ever go through any experience, whether nightmare or that of great joy, where I will not be with them." as we go through and we understand how common Jesus was, he had to be just identical to us, common like us. Just as we went through on how we name our children, Jesus has a namesake. Just for a moment, we want to understand that sometimes we have family names, right? Jesus or Joshua. So that quickly tells you where we're headed. To Joshua chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. But as Miller helped to show me, he wants to show us how faith works. And Joshua 6 contains a picture of Jesus' great namesake. The man after whom he was named, Joshua, was given the most unusual assignment. In Joshua 6, Joshua could not inhabit the great promised land of Canaan because the enemies already filled it. And there in the middle of the enemy's encampment was a fortified city, Jericho. It was built with great walls surrounding it. And Joshua could not possibly hope to set up a nation in a land where there was already another kingdom. And Joshua 6:12 says, Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. Now one can almost hear, picture with me, 6 days. So if you know the story, 6 days they had marched, but they were called to march seven. Around this city, marching, not shouting, just playing the trumpets. They were given directions by God. So can you hear the priests saying, in their own minds, if nothing else, oh, not again. Do we have to do this again? Nothing's happened yet. Why again? Yet they did it day after day. And the Bible says in verse 13, the seven priests bearing seven trumpets went on continually and blew the trumpets. And the armed men were before them. The ark of God followed them, followed by the armed guard. So visualize this part. So now you have those in Jericho watching the parade, we'll call it, for 6 days, with each and every day passing by. Can you imagine the snickers, the comments, the laughter from those who are in the fortified city of Jericho, trusting in their walls? I mean, for goodness sakes, there was a parade that went by and they played the band and nothing. They weren't trying to attack the city in any manner. Can you imagine how they were scoffing and making fun of the nation of Israel as they carried out some rather unusual instructions from God? God has never yet saved anybody without asking for a participation of faith. Joshua is a great example of this. The nation of Israel, when God rewards them and carries them through, is a great example. The Israelites would march around the city trusting that God somehow had a reason for what he had asked them. So they marched around 6 days until on the seventh day, the walls collapsed. Can you imagine it? They were marching, playing trumpets, marching, playing trumpets, marching, playing trumpets, and so on. And on the seventh day, as God had directed, the walls fell down. So again, we have one last thing to picture. As you put yourself into the mindset of those who are carrying out the instructions of God, and you're called to go and march, remembering that up until the seventh day, you are just on the other side of receiving what God had promised. The outcome was not revealed to them, even though it was foretold. They had to trust. Similar to us, as we read how Jesus, as common as his name was and as humble as his entry into humanity was, had something amazing in store that would forever change eternity for us, for this world. If I could come up with quotes like this, I'd sure like to, but Miller quote, and I quote him now, When the angel said to Mary and Joseph, "Name this boy Jesus," it was as if the Lord himself were saying, "I'm enclosing my life in an event. And the event is this. If you trust me and do what I say, I will provide you a way out." Who is Jesus? What is Jesus? He is the Exodus. He is the way out. One of the most important verses in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. This verse tells us that there is a way out. And God had noticed a long time ago and set things into motion. Charles Swindoll shares a story about a boy who colored his pictures in all black. And someone finally asked the boy, "Why don't you use pretty colors?" And the boy replied, "Oh, I would love to have a colored picture, but my desk is in the far corner of the room. And when I go up to get the colors out of the box, the only one left is the black crayon." As we're preparing to enter into our season of Advent, as we start to celebrate hope, love, joy, and peace, and ultimately the birth of our common average Joe, John, or Dave, as we celebrate Jesus, our Savior, we have the opportunity to start our focus on the true purpose for our celebration. How fitting it is that the season of Advent is preceded by a time of reflection and thanksgiving. We may not always have our choice of crayons, and that's how life works. We don't have it all like we want, but the truth is, there is a way out. Jesus Christ has come. Jesus the commoner, born of a woman, to make life as special as you and I will let him. Call his name Jesus, Yeshua, the great commoner. Emmanuel, God with us, reminds us that if he hadn't come to be with us, we'd be alone with no way out. How much greater the reason to embrace the Advent season, the Christmas season, with hope, love, joy, and peace, those being the weeks of Advent. May our world be taken over by the common, the everyday Jesus that fully gives us hope by the sharing of his love, that brings us joy as we find ultimate peace in him. You may join us at the altar if you wish. Heavenly Father, we're here today recognizing the opportunity that we have before us to join together in worship in your house, to worship together that we can share our love with you, that we can encourage those around us, Heavenly Father, that we can glorify your name. Father, we thank you that you've revealed to us you came just like us. You became what we go through. You got to see and participate in the everyday struggles. Father, you are ever so common. You did that just for us. You didn't have to step down, but you did. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love. Father, for those who are traveling and not with us today, we miss them and we love them and we pray that your safety will abound around them, and Father, that they'll be returned to us safely, that we can join together with them and rejoice and glorify your name together once more. Heavenly Father, for those who are struggling, Father, we know that they're out there. Father, their names, even if we don't know who they are, if all we see is a name on a list, Heavenly Father, we know that you know them intimately and that you care for them so deeply. And I pray, Father, that they will take a meaning to us that is more than just a name on a page. Father, that we can join in prayer with you, lifting them up. Father, for those who are about to go through surgery come Tuesday, something that can be an extremely scary event, surrounding the event of, that's scary enough by itself, cancer. But Father, you've delivered many in this congregation from that malady. Father, we know that it's nowhere near impossible, that you can work in a miraculous way. And Father, we know and trust that this individual would glorify you first and foremost, regardless of the outcome. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity of this closing out of Thanksgiving weekend. Father, as we transition into this time of Advent and this time of Christmas celebration, Father, I pray that you'll work within us. Father, that the gift that's been given, Father, the gift that will be given through your Son Jesus is yet to come. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to focus and to deepen our understanding of your gift. May we give because you love, and may we show your love to others. Heavenly Father, lead us, we pray, to glorify your name. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you would, we'll stand and we'll sing our closing song. The guy's voice you heard singing that song is Matt Hall of Casting Crowns. If you remember his name, remember that he is first and foremost pointing to Jesus. Now, as common as Jesus is, there are five that are absolutely listed in the Bible, Joshua being one. If you go with the derivatives, then you have Jesus Justice and Jesus Barabbas, the one that was exchanged for Jesus, that Jesus were to go into jail at that point. But with that said, as common as Jesus is, when he took on Christo, Christ, it absolutely changes the whole thing. Jesus Christ is the name, the one that gets us back into that relationship with God, the one that gets us out of our separation, the one whose birth we celebrate come Christmas Day, the gift we were given. As we go through, can we be hopeful? Can we be loving? Can we be joyful? And can we find that peace this Christmas? If you'll bow with me. Heavenly Father, thank you. What else can we say? Father, you made a way for us through the one that has become common, just like us. But it didn't end there. That we as the common can become uncommon through his righteousness as we trust in the work that he has done for us. Father, we thank you for the gift of eternity through your Son, Jesus Christ. When we accept and faithfully believe upon him, but Father, it's as we believe upon him, it's only that he gets us to you. We don't forget about you, Heavenly Father. We thank you. Lead us this Christmas season as we go out. May we be ready to share those attributes of the Advent season of hope, love, joy, and peace. Carry us forward by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. And it's in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.